Ramsey TV.
Back at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. This is Martin Zender, where I belong, in my kitchen studio in the cottage in Fort Lauderdale. I'm glad you're with me. I'm going to read one of the most surprising, and ultimately it's going to be for you, fantastic verses in Scripture. Now, this is what we call a transadministrational truth. That's what I call a transadministrational truth. I'm going to be reading to you a passage from the book of Matthew. This is from the circumcision gospel. So it's not directly from a letter of Paul. Paul wrote to the nations, but this is a transadministrational truth. Always like the word, that use that word whenever I can. That is, it's a general truth that applies to both gospels. This is our Lord, Matthew 11:25. And at that season, answering, I'm going to look at what the season is, because the season that it's that this saying occurs in is very, very illustrative as to the time in which Jesus said this surprising thing, and this will directly help us, because we find ourselves in the same situation in which Jesus found himself. At that season, answering, Jesus said, quote, I am acclaiming you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and you do reveal them to minors. The King James would say to babes, to young ones, to youths, to children, childlike people. Then Jesus says, yes, Father, seeing that thus it became a delight in front of you, end quote. This is important to us because in this we see the wisdom of God in hiding truth in this era from certain people. But this is the very thing, I think you will agree with me, that frustrates the daylights out of us. It frustrates us that God hides truth from people that we would very much like to have the truth. Now, Jesus said at that season, what season was it? Listen to the season and you get a context, because you cannot appreciate Jesus' words unless you hear, see, understand the context in which they were spoken. Matthew 11:20. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his powerful deeds occurred, for they do not repent. He says to them, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the powerful deeds which are occurring in you occurred in Tyre and Sidon, long ago they would repent, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Moreover, I am saying to you, for Tyre and Sidon shall it be more tolerable in the day of judging than for you. And you, Capernaum, not to heaven shall you be exalted, to the unseen shall you subside. For if the powerful deeds which are occurring in you had occurred in Sodom, it might remain unto today. Moreover, I'm saying to you that for the land of Sodom, for crying out loud, for the land of Sodom shall it be more tolerable in the day of judging than for you. At that season, answering, Jesus said. It was at that season when his most powerful deeds went unappreciated. He was rejected in spite of heralding the very words of God and showing overtly, publicly, the works of God. It was at that season that our Lord said, I am acclaiming you, Father. I am acclaiming you, Father. Do you see what this requires, to be acclaiming God? Our temptation is to curse God. Not that any of us would ever do that. No. But at least to be frustrated with him. In the face of what? In the face of failure. In the face of you giving your most eloquent defense of the truth, your most eloquent presentation of the truth to your father or your mother or your children or your friends, which would be the equivalent of Jesus Christ our Lord doing miracles in front of people. You attest to the salvation of all, to the sovereignty of God, and they utterly reject you. And yet there are other people, that is, in this analogy, people of Sidon and Tyre who were, you know, illegitimate, not very good cities. Sodom, for instance. Jesus is saying that these crap cities, would have repented if they had seen these things. But you, Israelites, the great ones, no, you reject it. So it will be more tolerable for the city of Sodom than for you. This is one hell of an indictment by our Lord. And cannot we relate to this today? Because we talk to people who are possibly in the Christian religion, assuming themselves to be at the head of the table, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme of God's chosen people. And yet there's us, nobodies, people who are out of the system, and yet we are heralding the truth. We are performing, quote, miracles, unquote. The miracle being that God has given us an understanding of some very plain passages of Scripture that have been ignored by the majority of Christianity. Let me go on in verse 27, and then I'm going to read A.E. Knox's commentary on this verse, commentary on the Concordant Literal New Testament. Listen to this. Jesus, after this, says, "All was given up to me by my Father, and no one is recognizing the Son except the Father. Neither is anyone recognizing the Father except the Son and he to whom the Son should be intending to unveil him." All was given up to me by the Father. So our Lord at this time has such spiritual wealth, and he is giving it freely, and people are rejecting it for whatever reason. They stumbled at the messenger. They wanted him to be a political savior. They wanted him to be flashier. They wanted him to use more eloquent words. I don't know. So many reasons. They were jealous. Certainly the temple people were jealous that he was getting so many people out in the country, pulling people away from the temple and the people, the hillbillies out in the country were receiving Christ. All was given to me. And he says, no one is recognizing the Father except the Son and he to whom the Son should be intending to unveil him. The Son has been unveiled to us by God. This is a rare thing. I compare it to a lightning strike. I compare it to winning the lottery. These comparisons fail in light of the actual reality, which is astounding. Hither to me, all who are toiling and laden, I will be giving you rest. Rest, rest. Jesus Christ calls this frustration rest. Lift my yoke upon you. This is a yoke to bear this burden of having information, having wisdom, having knowledge, and having it rejected. It's a yoke, isn't it? It's a burden. But remember Jesus' first words in this passage, Matthew 11:25, I'm acclaiming you. And he does it at that season of his highest frustration. He's at his peak of frustration. And at that hour, he acclaims God for revealing the truth to minors. That is to these idiot disciples of his, to the bumpkins out in the country, out in Galilee. These are the people who are getting the truth. And this is rightly called a yoke. We look at a yoke as a physical infirmity or trouble in life. Well, in a way, this is trouble in life. In the context, the yoke is bearing the truth without the fruit. Bearing the truth, having it rejected by your closest loved ones, your closest associates, your closest friends. Lift my yoke upon you, be learning from me, for meek am I and humble in heart. You shall be finding rest in your souls, for my yoke is kindly, my load is light. If this is a light load, I hate to see what heavy feels like. Now I'm going to finish this particular video. I might expand on this tomorrow from the Concordant Commentary. This, I tell you what, I know that this is your experience. Matthew 11, starting with verse 25. A. Enoch, Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. Though his ministry seems to be a failure, the Lord recognizes the fact that this is in accord with God's unrevealed purpose. He, our Lord, acquiesces to God's evident delight in hiding the truth from those who were wise and intelligent in the things of this life. He does not fret, our Lord, because he cannot reach them, because God's work is apparently without the anticipated results. For he has the consciousness that in the final analysis, it is God himself who is operating all for his purpose and glory. It is not that those who rejected him were blinded by some act of their own, for which God disclaims responsibility. No, they do not see it because God positively hides it from them. It is this God consciousness, this recognition of his hand in all things, and more especially in that which is opposed to his apparent will, that everyone be saved, come to a realization of the truth, that will happen eventually, but this blinding people, this people not getting it, this thing about people staring the truth in the face and rejecting it, is certainly opposed to his apparent will. It is this God consciousness, this recognition of his hand in all things, and more especially in that which is opposed to his apparent will, which gives his slaves, hearts, us, ease and rest in spirit. This is especially needed in days of apostasy. And folks, we are there. Back to the quote. When we see the success of his enemies, the failure of his friends, when his own are enmeshed in the delusions of the last days, shall we blame those who must bear this load as they toil? How hard it is for their pride to be involved in failure. Jesus' disciples were involved in failure. Understand this. Paul's people were involved in failure. Their leader was in jail. We are involved in a continuous string of failures. And it's worse because we're at the tail end of the apostasy. How great the temptation to throw off the yoke and ensure success. Remember, Jesus said, my yoke is light. The yoke in this context is having the truth opposed, knowing the truth, putting it out there, thinking that everybody's going to love this truth, and they hate it, and they hate you for bringing it. That's a yoke. How great the temptation, back to the quote, to throw off the yoke and ensure success by methods of their own. Also, this isn't working. I'm going to try to do something new so that more people can come. This is what the organized church does. They don't tolerate this kind of success. They will never say, I acclaim you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for not bringing people into our ecclesia. I acclaim you, Father, for causing people to leave our little assembly. Oh, no. They consider that a curse of God, and they will do any means possible through social media, through advertisements, through coercion, to bring as many people as possible into their fold. This is in direct opposition to the way the Lord operates, who acclaims his God and Father in the season of his greatest failure and rejection. Back to the quote. How great the temptation to throw off the yoke and ensure success by methods of their own. Oh, that they would learn to yoke themselves with him, to bow humbly beneath the failure that is according to God's underlying purpose. I must add here, it is a temporary failure, because this thing is about to be a gigantic success, the scope of which you cannot even imagine. But for now, it's a failure. But guess what? It's an abject failure right before it becomes a smashing success. I continue. How they, us, would learn to yoke themselves with him, and we have to bow humbly beneath the failure. Failure is the key word here. That is according to God's underlying purpose. Then they will acquiesce when he blinds, as well as when he blesses. Then the yoke will no longer gall, because you accept it as standard operating procedure. It's a yoke to have truth rejected, and yet Jesus Christ at that season says, I acclaim you, Father. Can we do that? Only by the Spirit of God. It's a difficult thing. But when we do acquiesce to saying this is how God wants it for now, then the yoke will no longer gall. The load will float from their aching shoulders. The false thought that failure is not of God. This is what the church thinks. They can't imagine that failure would be of God. The false thought that failure is not of God and that success is his hallmark. Success is his hallmark? Look at the life of Christ. Look at the life of Paul. This misunderstanding has led his saints to imagine that any flagrant disobedience to his will is fully justified if it only results in apparent success. This is the nominal church. All they want is apparent success. They don't give a damn about the substructure, about the truth. They will never acclaim God for failure. Never, never, never. We do. Why? Because we have draughts of spirit flowing through our veins. He's given us much more spirit, God has, than them to understand this. Let us remember that he has characterized these as days of apostasy, so that it is his will that many should depart from the faith, and consequently great success may result in great loss to any slave of his who does not contend lawfully. Our business is to please God by suffering rejection along with him.